From the home of the Packers, a look at the game through the player's eyes. This is Inside Lambeau.
Hello, everybody, and I'm Rod Burks, your host for Inside Lambeau, and we are joined by the rookie quarterback, B.J. Coleman. B.J., thanks for opening up the season with us. This has got to be a complete dream for you right now.
Absolutely. You know, great opportunity to come out here to Green Bay. Wear the colors, put the G on your helmet, go, you know, run out of the tunnel and have an opportunity to do something that, you know, you've always dreamed of doing, and that's playing professional football.
All right, take us out to San Diego. It's your first live action, past family night now, your first live action out in San Diego when you're running out in the field. I mean, that had to be a pretty emotional time for you to go out there, because you've been working for this thing your whole life.
That's right. You know, it came a point, you know, when I was walking out in pregame, you know, I had my clothes on and had my pads and getting ready to run out of the tunnel, and I was like, this is it. This is the time, you know, that you've been waiting for, you know, your whole life. But it was a great opportunity to go out there and really get some good game experience, have an opportunity to see how the guys and how professionals actually take care of their business, and it was a good start.
And when you got in that huddle for the first time, I want you to be honest with me. You had to have some jitters, right? It's like, I got to do this quarterback thing now, right?
Well, a minute 56 left to go on the clock, and you're down by 8 points, have an opportunity to tie it. So I really didn't have too much time to think about much except for moving the football down the field. But, you know, it was an awesome feeling to be able to walk into the huddle, break the huddle, and be able to run my first play from scrimmage. So it was a great experience.
And completed a few passes as well. How about training camp? You're a Packer now, seventh rounder. How's training camp going for you right now?
Training camp's good. You know, it's really given me an opportunity to kind of, once OTAs and IPWs and stuff passed, it was a good opportunity now that I'm in training camp to see what kind of support Green Bay has. You know, the fans are great, and you know, there's a lot of them at every practice, and they're watching everything you do. So, you know, it really pushes you to strive for success.
And you got great locker room placement as far as your locker. You are next to Aaron Rodgers, the NFL MVP, and the guy you're fighting for, and Graham Harrell. I mean, what's it like being in between these two guys? We'll start off with Graham Harrell first.
You know, Graham has done an excellent job since he's been here. You know, he came in, free agent guy, and he's worked extremely hard and put himself in a position to succeed. So, you know, having him there and kind of watching how he does his thing, and then Aaron, you know, a guy who took his time and, you know, he learned the offense and really strived, you know, to be the best. And, you know, obviously his play speaks for himself, but him as a person is really good, you know, with the young guys, and really kind of helping us transition and learn how to be a professional.
Have you had some private moments with Aaron? Have you talked to you? What are some of the things he's been telling you?
Yeah, I actually have, you know, with the lockers being right next to one another. And, you know, there's been days where I looked at him and said, man, did you spin when you were a young rookie? And he said, man, I'm telling you. He said, it'll all get better. It's a process. You got to learn. You got to learn the system step by step. But, you know, there's so much that goes on outside of just the playbook. You know, you have to learn, you know, people, and you have to understand, you know, that this is a game and a business, and you have to understand the whole process. And he's been really good at helping me with that.
For everybody at home, people don't realize this guy's a big time studier. I was doing some reading, and you spend 35 to 40 hours a week just studying film. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I've always tried to implement, you know, my classroom work into sports as well. And you know, I came from a great college down there at Chattanooga, and, you know, we ran an offense that was very complex, and, you know, had to understand protections and understand adjustments and defenses. So, you know, it kind of helped me carry over and transition well here and pick up the playbook like I have so far. But long way to go, but that's the fun part about it.
And how about that playbook? It's pretty thick. Are you having a hard time? I mean, you having a hard time getting all those plays down?
Well, you know, you take it step by step. You know, one day you focus on protections. The next day you focus on route adjustments. The next day you focus on defensive calls. So, you know, you take it one step at a time, but you build each day, you know, and you can't try to do too many things at once, or you don't accomplish anything. So, you know, it's been good to this point.
He's B.J. Coleman. I'm Rod Burks. We got plenty more with him right after this break.
Fourth down and 10 for the Packers. Here's the snap to Coleman. Coleman waits, looks, throws it over the middle. Leaping grab is made by DJ Williams. First and 10 on a gain of 12.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. You recognize this good-looking guy next to me. That's B.J. Coleman, the seventh-round draft pick rookie for the Green Bay Packers. Now, when you completed your first pass in the game, you hit, obviously DJ Williams is one of your good friends. I mean, what's that feel like in a real game like that?
Oh, great feeling. Great feeling to be able to come out, you know, move the football down the field. But the first pass is crucial, you know, especially for a two-minute drive. You want to get the thing going. So being able to come out, hitting a quick hitter, it really kind of got us a little bit of momentum. And then once we picked up that fourth down conversion, I think we all felt like we had a little bit of wave there rounding in.
Let's go back to your college life. Now, you started off at Tennessee, looked up to Peyton Manning. You went to Tennessee, and then you ended up transferring. Why did you transfer?
You know, I think the biggest thing was is I had an opportunity there at the University of Tennessee, and I was there for 2 years and then had an opportunity really to make a move. And, you know, it was kind of that decision time where, you know, if you hang in the balance one more year, if you stayed in the Division I area, you might have to lose a year of eligibility. So I felt like the best opportunity for me was to go down to Chattanooga, get myself on the field, get some experience, and then it was the best decision I ever made.
6,800 yards, 52 touchdowns. I mean, so that really helped prepare you. Talk about college life a little bit.
You know, Chattanooga was great. We ran a similar offense to a pro style. You know, in college nowadays, you see a lot of the spread option or a lot of the ball fakes by the quarterbacks were a little bit more of a dual threat. But, you know, we were a lot of drop back pocket type of offense. So there was a lot of protection adjustments, a lot of calls that I was forced to make. And that was very helpful for me now. You know, those guys were excellent for me. And I learned a lot by the transition. And you know, adversity is huge in any athlete's life, you know. And it gave me an opportunity to really kind of stand up to the challenge.
I know you got some great highlights back at Chattanooga. Give me your best in a game that you will always remember, even as a pro now.
Well, we had an opportunity. You know, we got to play Auburn the year that they won the national championship. And I think we put 24 points up, had an opportunity to put 31, had one there at the end zone at the end of the game, had an opportunity. But being able to go into an arena like that with a group of guys, at that point, it was my second year at UTC. We had gelled. A lot of them were seniors. I was a junior. And at that point, you could tell that we really were catching some momentum and clicking. And to watch those guys go out there and do what they did, it was great.
You're one of those guys that you got a great smile, but you're also intense on the football field. Do you find yourself that you got to kind of bring it down a level when you get on the field, so you're not, you know, making mistakes and running through guys out there?
A lot of my intensity comes in practice. I think when I get into a game, I've always been pretty good at keeping the guys calm. You know, having fun. You know, if I feel like we're a little too tense, tell a joke, to say something funny. But you know, for the most part, you know, I like to keep the energy high in practice because the tempo in practice is huge for the way you play. And you know, I think Coach McCarthy and his staff do a heck of a job doing that.
Seventh rounder, when that phone rang and the Green Bay Packers said we want to take you, what went through your mind? I mean, you just blown away?
Never felt better. You know, great to see the 920 area code pop up and get the call. So that was really good.
And you also, you like to study. You did some studying on Green Bay. You got a chance to meet Bart Starr. I mean, yeah. That must have been a pretty good moment for you as well.
Well, that was awesome. You know, having an opportunity to meet old and guys who really have been here, done that, and been a part of this great tradition to even have an opportunity to be mentioned in the same sentence is an honor.
Did you even know that you were on Green Bay's radar? I mean, when the 920 popped up, did you even know the area code?
I didn't. You know, that's the National Football League. That's this draft and how things work. But I'm sure glad it worked out this way because, you know, this is a family here. You can really feel the environment here. My family got to come up a couple of weeks ago, and they really, really enjoyed the atmosphere and you know, the history behind the Packers.
And he's B.J. Coleman, and I'm Rod Burks. We got much more with this guy coming up after the break. Out there, you think for your first pro game? I mean, I know it's preseason, the games don't count, but I mean, you can be a little bit nervous, you think?
Hey, you know, first game, first NFL game, you know, I think a great test was family night, having 55,000 fans out there. You know, that was wonderful, and you know, be able to go out there, you know, the biggest thing is stay within yourself, do what you do, and try to execute.
Do what you do. Welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm alongside B.J. Coleman. I mean, you're a natural for this TV thing. I mean, you're kicking off the season. You got the pretty smile. I mean, is it just a walk in the park for you?
I've had some experience. I was a communications major in school. So
now he lets the truth out. Hey, making that transition coming here to Green Bay, one of the all-time greats here in Green Bay history, helped you out in your transition. You obviously same agent as Brett Favre. Talk about that working with Brett Favre and preparing you for this next step?
Yeah, I had an opportunity to go down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and train kind of in that period, that transition period right before the combine, kind of getting ready for the draft. And, you know, my agent's the same one as Brett's and a couple other guys. And a great opportunity to go down. You know, as a little kid, you know, growing up watching Brett and the Packers, you know, that was a dream come true to be able to work out with a guy like that. And, right. You know, he's a good guy. He's worked himself into obviously what a career. It speaks for itself. But, you know, have the opportunity to work out with professionals is a valuable experience.
And what did he teach you? What did he teach you as a man growing up into a man's game?
You know, I think the biggest thing was just how to be a pro, you know, and you know, a lot of it, you know, is all relative, but, you know, I think Brett is a good football player, and it really spoke for himself just to listen to how he talked X's and O's. You know, he was really good, you know, explaining the game, and I tried to take as much as I could from that.
Now, you know, there was an ugly divorce between Brett and the Packers. Somewhere down the road, I'm sure some of the Packer fans want them to patch this up. Did he talk about that, or did he talk about some of the teammates and what his feelings toward Green Bay?
Oh, no, not at all. You know, our relationship was strictly just working out and, you know, talking ball and being in the countryside down south. You know, we had a good time with that. But, you know, it's something that, you know, he really taught me a lot just about trying to be a professional.
So you are a big country boy. What are some of the things you like doing outside of football?
Yeah, you know, I like to hunt. I like to fish. Play golf when I get every blue moon when I get a chance. So, you know, it's good to kind of get away from the game but still be able to compete. You know, and golf and hunting and fishing, those are things you can do that with.
All right. Some of your closest teammates on the team that you really become really good friends with.
Well, you know, Randall Cobb and I grew up in the same state of Tennessee together, about an hour and 15 minutes apart.
He's a player.
He was in Knoxville, I was in Chattanooga. Absolutely played against him twice in high school.
He got me twice.
He got me twice. It was close, very close.
Close, but no cigar.
No cigar.
Okay.
But he's from Tennessee. So as soon as I got drafted, he gave me the call. Man, this is great. You know, going from rivals to roommates type deal, and you know, that was a cool experience to have that. And then DJ Williams, Samson, one of the centers that I run with a bunch. But all the guys are close. You know, that's one thing that I've noticed about up here. You know, because a lot of times you hear in the professional leagues, you know, guys are married. Some guys are 36, and you're a rookie at 22. You know, and you know, sometimes you know you don't have an opportunity to sit down and talk with those guys. But even Donald Driver's been great. You know, he's really kind of shown me the ropes. You know, a wily veteran like himself, having that opportunity is pretty good.
Did you watch him on Dancing with the Stars? I mean, do you think he really actually earned that, or they gave it to him because he's a Pack?
Oh no, Donald earns everything he gets. You know, he's a guy I think that was drafted in the 7th round as well, who had to come in and earn his stripes, and you know, look at where he's at now for it.
He's B.J. Coleman. I'm Rod Brooks. Boy, you kicking us off this season with a nice show. We'll see you back here with Wayne Larrabee after the break.
And here's the snap. Harrell rolling out right, throws the end zone, touchdown. Randall Cobb on the reception. Beat his man to the pylon to the near side. 4-yard touchdown pass, and the Packers are on the board.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Inside Lambeau. He's got one of the best radio voices in all of the NFL. We're joined by Wayne Larrabee. Wayne, thanks for stopping by. Of course, we got to talk Packer football. We're going to start off with Desmond Bishop. Here's a guy who's the heart and soul of that defense. He could be gone for the whole year.
Well, Rod, I mean, you know, he's the hammer. Hardest hitting linebacker in the interior of that Packers defense. Clay Matthews is the star. A.J. Hawk is kind of the brains, the guy who coordinates on the field. Nick Perry's the new guy. And then you've got Desmond Bishop, and he was the hammer of that linebacking core. This is a big loss.
Leading tackler, one of the guys that they really depend on. I mean, now you're going to see a lot of D.J. Smith stepping in. Can D.J. play that role?
Well, D.J. Smith stepped in, as you recall, late last year. 3 games, stepped in for Desmond Bishop.
Made some impact plays.
I think he had an interception, if I'm not mistaken. But he also led the team in tackles in those 3 games. He's very active. He might be, outside of Clay, the most instinctive of the linebackers. A bit undersized, but he can play.
Yeah, but he's going to have to play every Sunday instead of filling in. Is his size going to kind of hurt him each and every week?
Well, you know, Sam Mills was a shorter linebacker, shorter, I'll say. And he played very successfully in Dom Capers' defense. So I think DJ, yes, I think he can play in Rod. Furthermore, I thought that I was trying to figure out how are they going to get this kid on the field sometime this year anyway? Well, sometime is now.
Yeah, Cedric Benson. How surprised were you when Ted Thompson went out and got Cedric Benson, who does have a little bit of baggage?
Well, I will admit I didn't see this one coming.
None of us did.
But it's an intriguing pickup because here's the thing. I think the Packers want a little more power between the tackles, and especially in a third down or short yarded situation. Cedric Benson can get you that. Now, he rushed the ball 218 times last year. He's not going to get 218 carries. So people are wondering, oh, he's 28, 29 years old, and all the wear and tear and all that stuff. He's not going to be asked to go 50,000 miles. He's going to be asked to go maybe around 10,000 miles this year. So he should be able to fit in very well.
Yeah, but my biggest question mark with him is, will he be able to hold on to the rock? He has a hard time holding on. He can fumble that ball a lot.
Yeah, and that's a question mark. But, again, it's something the Packers took into consideration when they made this choice. And the other thing, Rod, I think what it says to everyone is that, hey, listen, this team is ready to win. There are a couple of things that we need to shore up on this football team. But this is not the typical pickup. Ted Thompson doesn't pick up Cedric Benson 5 years ago when he's building the Packers. Right. The Packers are built. Cedric Benson is a guy who can help maybe get you over the top, take care of one of those short areas.
And what kind of training camp is James Starks having right now? I mean, he had a fumble in the preseason game. He dropped a pass. I mean, he misses some blitz pickups. What kind of training camp is he having?
Uneven, I guess, is probably to something you'd say. I don't think it's been a terrible training camp by any stretch of the imagination, Ron, but there is some question there. I think, though, it has nothing to do with so much as performance as it has to do with reliability. The availability factor. Starks banged up this week and hasn't been practicing since the San Diego game when we taped this program. So that's a concern, the availability aspect of the equation.
And they're depending a lot on Alex Green. They really want this kid to play well. I mean, he got hurt last year. They're depending on him.
I just wrote his number down here for you. I think Alex Green, we saw a little bit of him in San Diego. This is the guy I think they'd love to see if he can develop into a third down back. On the Mike McCarthy Show, we dissected a play where he was successful in picking up a blitzing cornerback in pass protection for Graham Harrell to make a big completion downfield. That's the thing he's got to do. But the other thing they really like about him, he's a bigger back who has good feet in space. If they can get the ball out to him running downhill, he can make some big yards.
All right, he's Wayne Larrabee. I'm Rod Burks. After this break, we'll be back with the best voice in radio. And welcome to Inside Lambeau. I'm Rod Burks, joined by Wayne Larrabee. Wayne, let's talk Packers, and let's talk about Jarrell Worthy and Nick Perry. How much are the Packers depending on these two to come up strong this season?
Well, Rod, quite a bit. I mean, Perry's already been installed as a starter. Worthy's getting time with the number ones at defensive end, and of course, Perry at outside linebacker. And these guys are going to have to come up and play well, play right away for the Packers. You usually don't expect that from draft choices. But in this case, yeah, they're expecting something out of these guys.
And did you like what you saw out of Perry? He got the sack and the penalty. But did you like to see that, his aggressiveness?
Yeah, I did. And I like to see him, you know, get that kind of confidence it takes. He's going to rush the quarterback. The thing that he's worried about, obviously, is his pass drops. He's never had to do that. He was a defensive end at USC. So I think this is a kid, though, that has a lot of potential. He's big enough to set the edge against the run. Okay, that's first and foremost. Then he's also athletic enough at 265 pounds to put pressure on the quarterback and rush the quarterback. Made a nice sack against the number one San Diego offense.
Yeah, he's a big kid. Let's talk about the Packers' number one offense. They struggled. I mean, first preseason game, sometimes preseason games are tough to watch. What do you think about those guys and a little bit of their sloppy play?
Well, you know, the turnovers were uncharacteristic, that's for sure. The Packers had three turnovers, one of them on special teams in the first quarter of play, and that's not like them at all. And they had some protection problems on the offensive line a little bit, but, they only had three series. And, Rod, how many times have you seen a game begin and the offense kind of, you know, doesn't get it done in the first and second and third series? Well, the difference between a regular season game and a preseason game, in the regular season game, they're going to get four or five more series and score 25 points.
Right.
In the preseason, they're done after three series, and that's what we talk about the next week.
The Packer fans do not have to worry, all right?
I don't think the Packers' offense will
be back.
I think the Packers' offense will be fine.
Let's talk about injuries. The Packers have had like 19 to 20 guys that have banged up and missing training camp. and missing preseason. I mean, how much does this hurt this team?
Well, that's my biggest concern as an observer, Rod, is to see all these guys on the sidelines. And I know that they're going to be back by opening day, and that's the whole thing, making sure everybody's healthy by opening day. But the fact is, these guys also need time. Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings, I know they've been playing for X number of years together, but they need time each year to reestablish that chemistry and the timing. So that's the thing that concerns me about the number of people who have missed a lot of practice, number of people we're counting on opening day.
And up on the line, you're talking about Robert Newhouse. How much are they?
Marshall Newhouse.
I make that, yes. Marshall Newhouse. How much are they depending on Newhouse to be the guy this year?
I think very much so. And you know what we saw early in camp, and I thought what we saw toward the end of last year, he's going to be fine at left tackle. I really do. Now, he sat out a good portion of camp so far with a concussion, but returned this week and looking for him to take over in this second preseason game and get ready for the regular season.
Hey, how about Saturday and Aaron Rodgers? They have to make that connection from quarterback to center. How's that going?
Well, I think it's going fine. You know, Jeff Saturday is, what, a seven-time Pro Bowler or whatever, and he's a veteran center. And, yeah, there's some differences, I'm sure, in the two players, Scott Wells and Jeff Saturday, but when you're Aaron Rodgers and you're taking snaps from a guy who's been to that many Pro Bowls, you have to feel confident.
Oh, he's Wayne Larrabee, and I'm Rod Burton for Inside Lambeau. We want to see you each and every week right here for this show.